This morning I'd like to call your attention to a passage of Scripture found in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. By the way, one of the great blessings we've had this week is Nelda and I got to go down to Bay Springs Friday night, enjoyed a wonderful meal there with the church family, and also a great sermon by Brother Ronald Lawrence, and we thank God for our sister churches and the fellowship we have with them. Now here in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 23, the Apostle Paul would say, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I want us to look this morning at this text, Lord willing, in some detail. Paul would say the wages of sin is death. Now we all understand what wages are. Wages are what you are given when you're being paid for what you have done. Wages. Now what are our wages from God? Now if you've got a job, I hope you're being paid well according to your ability and what you're rendering to the company or to the business. But what are our wages from God? Well, Paul says the wages of sin is death. And we're all sinners. Every one of us is a sinner. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what do we deserve because of our sins? We deserve death. The wages of sin is death. And there's one thing that's very sure in this world, and it's death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and we're all going to die. Our loved ones that we cherish more than life itself, we're all going down the valley one by one. We used to sing a song. I don't think it's in the hymn book anymore, but we are going down the valley one by one. And that's the valley of the shadow of death. I used to conduct a nursing home service in Statesboro every Thursday morning. I did for about 15 years. And there was a lady there in the nursing home. She was a patient, and she was a dear lady, had a beautiful alto voice. I got to be very close with her, but she was very outspoken. And one day somebody selected that song, "We're Going Down the Valley One by One," and she protested. She said, "Brother Sammy, we're all depressed enough in here as it is." Well, it is true, we're going down the valley, one by one, all of your loved ones. I don't want to be too morbid this morning, but hopefully we'll all get to be with our families on Thanksgiving Day. That'll be a happy time. But everybody at the family gathering will soon be going down the valley. There'll be one there that'll be the last one. You know, I was the youngest of 15. There's three of us left. I've been to a lot of sad funerals. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. All of our loved ones will pass away. Our neighbors. I remember as a child, I can remember right now hearing about different neighbors in this community that we all knew and thought a lot of. And they were passing away. All of our friends, all of our strangers. You see a football stadium full of 100,000 people, every one of them will eventually pass from this life. The rich, they're all going to die. The poor, they're all going to die. The famous, the ordinary, like us, we're all going to die. The wages of sin is death. Now, y'all didn't need me to tell you that, because if you've been around long, you know that death is all around us. We don't even need a Bible to tell us about the fact that death is a part of our existence. But we do need a Bible to tell us what is going to happen at death. Notice our text this morning. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, underline that word gift, highlight it in your Bible. If you don't mind marking in your Bible, I would suggest you just highlight that word gift. How many of y'all love gifts? You don't have to be a child to love a gift. Well, I'm telling y'all this morning, the gift of God is what? Eternal life. It's a gift. We earn death. That's our wages. We'll get what we deserve. But thank God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you don't do anything to earn a gift. If you do, it's not a gift. It's a wage. It's a payment. But if it's a gift, you get it freely. We talk about a free gift. That's like saying wet water. If it's a gift, you know it's free. Is that not right? And Paul says the gift of God, not the gift of the church or the gift of the preacher or the gift of mom and dad, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, what happens to a child of God when they die? Let's go back over into the Old Testament just a moment and look at a passage of Scripture in Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon would say this in verse 7. Then shall the dust... And by the way, that's what you and I are made out of, dust. When God made man, he didn't make him out of snow. He didn't make him out of gold and silver. You know what God made us out of? Dust. And what is going to happen at death? Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The Bible describes our bodies as a tent or a tabernacle. That's mentioned a number of times in the New Testament. Our bodies are a tent that we dwell in while we're here. But as tents do usually, they sag a little. Have y'all noticed that? Are you old enough to recognize that your tent is sagging a little? It's like there's a magnet down there pulling us down into the ground. And the older you get, the more you're going to sag. The tent is wearing out. That's the body. That's something that we all have to acknowledge. So he would say, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So the body is going to go back to the earth from whence it came in death. The body will decay. And I know that is kind of morbid, but listen. We just living in these bodies, that's all. They're tents. We're just dwelling in them. I live in a body. I have a soul, but I am a child of God. I hope y'all can see that today. A soul is made up of your mind, your ability to think, your will, your ability to make choices, and your emotions, your ability to feel. We've all got a soul. We think, we make choices, and we have feelings or emotions. But, beloved, at death, the body goes back to the earth, and the soul goes away. But what happens to the spirit part of us? Well, I want to tell y'all this morning, it does not go away. I want to go with you this morning, just a moment, to Genesis. Let's see, Genesis
chapter 25, where we're reading about Abraham, the old patriarch of the Israelite people. Abraham lived to be 175 years of age. That's a long time to live, isn't it? 175 years. And I think Abraham enjoyed his life. And I think you and I are on this earth to enjoy our life. How many of y'all are enjoying life today? I am. And I want to stay around as long as I can have my sound mind, which is questionable, I understand. And as long as I can wait on myself, I'd like to just stay around. How about y'all? I'm not thinking about wanting to die. I heard about a lady who went to her beautician. She was 100 years old. And her beautician said, when you turn 100, I'm going to give you a free hairdo. So she went to get her free gift. Well, the beautician was glad she came to get her gift. And they got to talking about age, and the lady was 100 years old. She was twice the age of the beautician. And the 100-year-old lady who went to get her hairdo said, you know, the only worry I've got is when you get so old, you can't do my hair. Isn't that a good attitude to have? Let's just hang around and enjoy life as long as we can. We sung that song this morning, Oh, for a Closer Walk with God. One time I was reading about a hymn book for senior citizens, and they said, Oh, for a slower walk with God. You know, we're all slowing down. One of the hymns in that book was, It is well with my soul, but my knees hurt. How many of y'all can relate this morning? Now, the young folks, I get it. They don't really know what I'm talking about right now, but if they hang around, they'll get it. Experience will teach all of that. But what's going to happen to our spirits when our bodies die or go to sleep? And I like that term. You know, in the New Testament, the Bible often refers to death as being asleep. Are y'all remember that? Many times the Bible talks about the dead as being asleep. And I love that. Asleep. How many of y'all enjoy going to bed at night when you're tired and just going to sleep? Do you dread it? No. You look forward to it. It's a wonderful blessing. Well, the Bible would describe the death of God's children as just being asleep. Now let's come here to Genesis 25, and we were going to read about Abraham, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, and 175 years, that's 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years. Now listen. Are y'all listening? And was gathered to his people. What does that mean? We know his body died at a good old age, but he was gathered to his people. You may say, well, that just means they took him back to be buried with his ancestors. Well, that didn't happen. Abraham wasn't taken back to Ur of the Chaldeans where his ancestors were buried. Neither was Aaron. Neither was Moses, and yet the Bible says about all three of these, they were gathered unto their people. I tell you what I believe that means. I believe that when the body of the child of God dies, the main part of them leaves that body and goes immediately to heaven to be gathered to his people. I believe that with all my heart. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he turned to a thief next to him. That thief had been blaspheming Jesus for a while, but a marvelous work of sovereign grace had taken place in that thief's heart and mind, and now he's changed his attitude altogether. rather than making fun of Jesus and mocking Jesus, all of a sudden he knows who Jesus is. He's Lord. He's got a kingdom after this world is over. And the thief says, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And you remember what Jesus said? No chance, buddy, because you weren't baptized. There's no way you can go to heaven. You aren't a disciple of mine. You don't have any good works. You're going to hell. Is that what Jesus said? He was a thief. And he was getting what he deserved on that cross. Capital punishment. And he acknowledged that to the other thief. He said, you and I are getting what we deserve. Yes, he was getting his wages here, which was death. But Jesus was going to give him a gift out of this world. Jesus said, today shall thou go with me where? To the grave? No, to paradise. Now their bodies were taken down from the crosses. It was a holy day, and the law would not allow bodies to be on crosses when a holy day came. And so by 6 o'clock, those bodies had to be down from those crosses. And the body of that thief was probably carried out to a dump site. They didn't bother much burying crucified people. But the body of Jesus was taken by a rich man and laid in a tomb that nobody had ever been in before. But his body was dead and the body of the thief was dead. And yet Jesus said, today shall thou be with me in paradise. What part of them went to paradise? It wasn't the body. It was the inner man, the spirit, being gathered to the people that were already in glory. I heard the other day somebody said, you know, when the thief got to heaven, somebody came up to him and said, hey, you're not supposed to be here. you were a thief on earth. You're no good. How did you get in here? And the thief said, well, the man in the middle told me to go with him. I love that, don't y'all? You know how you and I are going to get into heaven? Because the man in the middle died for us and paid our sin debt. And he's welcomed us into glory. So when your loved one dies, I want you to be comforted to know, yes, their body dies. The body that they loved and lived in, and the body that you were familiar with and you loved, and yes, that body dies, but the main part of them didn't die. Now, we need a Bible to tell us that, don't we? And God's Word tells us that. And we rejoice this morning because the Bible says that Abraham was gathered to his people. I believe his spirit went immediately into the paradise of God. And how glorious that was. Now back to death just a moment. I want to go with you over to the New Testament where Jesus Christ, where the Apostle Paul is writing to us about death. And he would say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he would say in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. You know, ignorance is not a good thing. Paul didn't want these brethren to be ignorant about this matter. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And I don't want any of you this morning to leave this church building ignorant about what I'm about to talk about. I want y'all to leave here with this knowledge. You and I need a working knowledge of this book, of this Bible. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, meaning they're dead, but to God they're just asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, he's not saying that we shouldn't sorrow. He just doesn't want us to sorrow like people who have no hope of another life and another world. You know, God has given us enough of heaven, a little bit of heaven on this earth to help us through this world, while we're waiting to go to heaven. And there is a little heaven down here. I experience it sometimes when I'm with you all in worship. It can just be wonderful. I can experience it sometimes in my own communion with our Heavenly Father through prayer. But listen, Paul would say, I don't want you all to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Paul is telling us that we grieve, but not as others which have no hope. It's fine to grieve. I want to go back just a moment this morning to Ecclesiastes. And I want to look with you, I believe it's in chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes. In verse 2, Solomon would say, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by it the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. What is Solomon teaching there? I think he's teaching us that when death comes to one of our friends or loved ones, we ought to grieve. We ought to sorrow. I sent a text to my first cousin's wife, Faye. I tell you, they were both educators. They taught school for many years. They were as close as a couple could ever be. She waited on him hand and foot. It was a joy to be in that home and to see Faye's love for Richard. And she sent me a text and told me that the last week was really rough. But she said, Sammy, you know, if anybody calls me Sammy, I figure they knew me a long time ago. She said, Sammy, it was beautiful to see him depart and go into the arms of Jesus. And I said, Faye, I'm praying for you that God will help you to mourn because there's healing in mourning. Would y'all agree with that? Delayed mourning is not a good thing. I've seen people, you know, you go to a funeral these days and they just talk about a celebration of life. Well, we want to celebrate the life of the person that died, but we don't want to ignore the reality of death. It's real. It hurts. It has a sting to it. And I want to tell you, when your loved one dies, I would encourage you to feel what you feel, to sorrow. Because there's healing in sorrow. Listen to what Solomon would say. He would say, sorrow is better than laughter. He's talking about at death. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Don't delay your grief. Don't pretend you don't hurt. When your loved ones die, I'd encourage you to grieve, to mourn. It's a healthy thing. But you don't grieve or mourn as those that have no hope. That's the glory of it, isn't it? I was at Sister Kathy's funeral. It was held here recently at Cool Springs. And I was sitting here while they were playing a song that's always touched me. Go rest high on that mountain. That song touches me like hardly any other song ever does. They played it at my nephew's funeral. He wanted to be buried out in the woods. I said, Lamar, why don't you get a grave down at Cool Springs? He said, Uncle Sammy, I don't deserve to be buried in a church cemetery. Now, he was a child of God. He'd made some choices that weren't healthy, but he was one of God's children. I visited with him not long before he died, and if I've ever seen anybody happy in the Lord, it was Lamar. And they played that song out there in the woods at his funeral. Go rest high on that mountain. And I tell you, I wept. I wept the other day. I couldn't stop crying at Kathy's funeral. Brother Melvin put his arms around me. Of course, I was looking at those children, and that brought back so many memories of when my dad passed. And I could feel their pain. Do y'all feel people's pain? Do you enter into their sorrow? See, Paul says this. Let's turn over to Paul's letter to the Romans and see what part of our duty is as Christian people. He would say in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Did you know that's a command? If somebody's blessed, let's rejoice with them. They get a new car. How many of y'all going to rejoice? Come on now. I'm talking about a fancy car. One of them real dandies. You know, and they park it right at church next to your old clunker. What are you going to do? If you're a child of God in the right frame of mind, you're going to rejoice that they were able to get that new car. Are y'all with me? Their kids are doing well in school. They're making all A's. Their kids are getting all kinds of awards on awards night. Let me tell you, do you rejoice in other kids, other people's kids being blessed? Here's a test. Is our heart in the right place? It ought to be. Nell and I got to watch Samuel Thursday night play soccer. I got to tell y'all this. Y'all bear with the granddaddy just a moment, would you? He made the most outstanding point I've ever seen in my life. He had to be 70 feet from the goal and kicked it, and it went in. They put a crown on his head at the end of the game. Did I rejoice? But if I'm in the right frame of mind, I'd rejoice if your kids, your grandkids had made that point. Come on, folks. We are to love one another. We're to rejoice when others are blessed. They get a promotion, a job that you were hoping you got. Rejoice with them. That's living, isn't it? Jealousy is, the Bible says jealousy is crueler than the grave. I don't want to be jealous. I hear a mother man preach 1,000 times better than I'd ever preach. I want to rejoice. He's lifting my Savior up. Are y'all with me today? But then weep with those that weep. And I want to tell you, my Savior went to the tomb of one of his dear friends, Lazarus. Mary and Martha were grieving at the death of their brother. And the Bible says Jesus wept. Now, I don't know why you think he wept. There's different ideas about it. I wouldn't argue. I think he wept because he was obeying Romans 12. He was weeping with those that weep. He felt their pain. Does it mean anything to you when you lose a loved one to know that Jesus feels your pain? He's touched with the feeling of your infirmity. I'm not talking about a God who is just so distant. You can approach him. He comes to you when you need him. How many of y'all could draw close to any president we've ever had? I tell you, when Ronald Reagan was president, I'd have loved to have gone into the White House, had a meal with him. I love that man. But you couldn't get past the gate. They got guards there. They got censors there. They got people there to keep you away. You can't approach the president. But I tell you, somebody you can approach, and that's Jesus Christ. He said, "Come to me. I'm meek and lowly. I'll give you rest." I want to encourage everybody in the house today, live as close to your Savior as you can get, because you're going to need him. And he'll be there to help you when your loved ones die. And Jesus, and whatever reason he was weeping, we know one thing, he had feelings. He cared. Now, let's get back to our original text, and we'll try to close this morning. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life. Not life now in this world, but eternal life. And when you and I get to heaven, we won't have any birthdays. We won't be getting old. I tell you, we thank God that we have a better world than this one on the other side.
And so Paul said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. What a day that will be. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And that word shout there basically means an order or a command. He's going to command his children to come out of the graves. And those that are living are going to meet them in the air. And so will we ever be with the Lord. Can y'all believe that today? I mean, really, honestly, genuinely. I don't know what all of y'all are facing. I know everybody in this house has got something you're dealing with, some problem. But I want you to know that there's a world better than this one waiting for you on the other side of the river of death. And it's a gift. You didn't earn it. You couldn't do anything to purchase it. But God gave it to you. And I want to close with this text in Luke chapter 10. The disciples had come back from what I would guess was a very successful preaching trip. And they were rejoicing that even the demons were subject to them. And Jesus said to them in Luke 10 and 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written where? In somebody's will on this earth? Maybe. But that soon will pass away. Your names are written in heaven. And you know who wrote your name there? God did. And there's no eraser on his pencil. And he wrote it before the foundation of the world. And whose names are there? The elect that he chose in Christ before the world began. They're all going to be there. Let me tell you. If somebody Jesus loves goes to hell, God himself would never be happy in all eternity. But I want to tell you, everybody he loves will be there because he sent his son down here to save them and make sure they're all there. Thank you all for your good attention this morning.